passage along with that point, it's no wonder that the expression Abraham, thy friend, is brought up here. These words only used three times here, Isaiah 41:3 and James 2:23. And they're based on Exodus, where it says God spoke face to face in Genesis. Yeah, where God spoke face to face as a friend speaks. And that sort of brings a personal relationship that you're speaking of, that He's our God, and reverently we say He's our friend, but, you know, and you were saying, to what extent do we pray to Him? But there really is no extent. He would talk to us as our friend, you know. Mm-hmm. Through all reverence we say this, but I think that sort of brings out what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Let me add to that if you look at every verse in His prayer, you cannot escape the fact that He knows the Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't just praying. If you read verse 7, the first part of verse 7 tells me that He knows about the book of Joshua. He have read the book of Joshua. The second part, as Matthew was saying, about Abraham, he read the book of Genesis. He knew that God had promised the land to Abraham. If you read verse 8 and verse 9, you cannot escape the fact that he read the prayers of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 8. This is an exact quote, verse 9, from Solomon's prayer. He was familiar with the book of 1 Kings. And if you read verse 10, he was familiar with the book of Deuteronomy. If every verse in prayer, he was able to quote Scripture, if I could say, to remind God of His goodness. And again, I think earlier Chuck made the comment that prayer will lead you to the Word of God. The Word of God will lead you to prayer. They are all connected together. And here you could see a man who is immersed in the Word of God is able to pray from the Scripture, reminding himself and reminding God, if I could say, with what He has done and His promises. And should I say, hold God responsible for His promises? You brought us into this land. It was Your promise to Abraham. Now these people wanted to throw us out. What are you going to do about that? And God coming in a mighty way.
Mention was made just a moment ago of prayer and of just hearing. And I love this little phrase in verse 9. I'll read the whole verse. If when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand in this house. But don't be satisfied with just standing in the house. I don't want to miss the next part of it. It's in Thy presence. That's what's important, isn't it? That I recognize the greatness of the One in whose presence I am. It says, for Thy name is in this house, and cry unto Thee in our affliction. Now, you know, I'll tell you, did God not know that they were going through this problem? He's the God of all the heavens and the earth. Didn't He know that this was happening? Well, of course He did. What was He waiting for? And how many times in our prayer, you ever hear that you ever have the experience of talking with someone about a difficulty? And you start talking to them about it, and they're kind of over here in this corner, and they're up here in this corner, and they're over here, and you say to them, hey, hang on a minute, quit beating around the bush. Tell me what the problem is. This is what God was waiting for. He was waiting for them to tell Him what He already knew. He was waiting for them to tell Him what He already knew, that He might come in. But look at this little phrase here. Cry unto Thee in our affliction. I'm going to divide this into two. Then Thou wilt hear. Let's stop there. Isn't it nice to have that relationship with the God of glory? If nobody on earth will listen to me, and nobody will talk to me here, I belong to One that will bend His ear down. Sometimes it's nice. You've experienced this. You've got a difficulty or a problem. Sometimes it's just nice to talk to somebody about it. Just to talk to them. Not to get to the answer. Just to talk to them. Well, these are the two things. He will hear. Ah, but there's something else. Not only will He hear, He will help. He will come alongside. He will be what you need in the hour of need that you are in. They held God, Emil has said, responsible to the very written word that they had. And I think of this matter of beating around the bush when I think of verse 10. I mean, there comes the time in the prayer when Jehoshaphat has to address to the Lord exactly what is the problem. There isn't any help for him until he tells the Lord what the difficulty is. I think there's a real lesson in that for us, isn't there?
Verse to connect, thou wilt hear and help. Verse 9, like Brother Chuck's been saying, in Psalm 34, sometimes if we're going through a difficulty, we might ask a friend to lend us an ear. But when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to Jehovah, it's both ears. In verse 15 of Psalm 34, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears, plural, are open unto their cry. And verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And then verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So just those verses to connect that the Lord hears, and he'll respond in the right time, and come in to help in a mighty way. Abundantly above all we ask or think, but always know that the Lord does hear, and he will help as the prayer here requests.